Ruth chapter 4 and verse 15. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loves you, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it on her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. For a few minutes this evening, I want us to talk about the story of Ruth. I was telling, I like to do a variety of different types of sermons. This is going to have a lot of slides, a lot of pictures. I told David I've got 170 tonight, and he had to check to see if I really had that many. I don't, but I have a lot. And if it seems like it goes long, I have an excuse tonight because we sang extra songs waiting for the ladies to get here. But in all joking aside, I'm so thankful you sisters are able to go out and visit the shut-ins while we were having our business meeting, and that worked out really well. So God revealed in the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth is a lovely story. It follows like a calm after the storm of what happened during the Judges. The period of Judges was an era marked with immorality, idolatry, and war. It's a picture of domestic life in a time of anarchy. And 1,000 years before, Abraham had been called by God to found a nation for the purpose of one day bringing a Savior to mankind. And in the small book of Ruth, we have the founding of the family within the nation into which the Savior would be born. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. From here on, the Old Testament mainly centers around the family of David, and then the New Testament begins with a genealogy that begins with Abraham, down to David, down to Christ. One of the key words in the book of Ruth is redemption. Redemption. It occurs 23 times, the Hebrew word, in the book of Ruth. We sing a song sometimes, The Great Redeemer. It's a beautiful story about Christ being our Redeemer. That is what the story of Ruth is. So we will get in to the lesson. So if Elimelech and his family traveled to Moab on the northern route around the Dead Sea, they may have seen a similar view to this. This photo was taken from Qumran, the site best known for the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. The land of Transjordan shown here was allotted by the Lord to the Israelites, but in some period of Israel's history, including early in the time of the Judges, Moab took over the land north of Arnon, including that shown here. So Ruth, it has 4 chapters, 85 verses, and it emphasizes a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. And consider this, Ruth was a Gentile and she marries a Jew. We have a similar but different situation. Esther was Jewish and marries a Gentile. In both cases, people were blessed and God was honored. The book tells a story of devotion and faithfulness concerning a Moabite widow, Ruth, who leaves her homeland to live with her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi, in the land of Israel. And when she does this, God honors Ruth's commitment by guiding her to the field of Boaz, who is a near kinsman to Naomi, where she gathers grain and finds a place in the genealogy of Christ. The book of Ruth serves 3 purposes: to illustrate how Jehovah rewards those who make wise spiritual choices, to explain how Ruth, a Moabitess, came to be an ancestor of David and ultimately the Messiah, to learn about God as he reveals himself in the life of Ruth. And how does God reveal himself in the life of Ruth? We see the kindness of God, we see the providence of God, we see the grace of God. She was undeserving, well, we are undeserving, and we see the goodness of God. So chapter 1, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there is a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So there's a famine. Think about this. There's a famine in the land that flowed with milk and honey. That was one of the judgments that God brought upon them and threatened to bring upon them because of their sins. We read about that in Leviticus 26. And if you shall not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. So they travel from Bethlehem to Moab, and when they left, they were unjustified in leaving Canaan. It showed a lack of faith that God would once again make that land plentiful. It weakened his brethren for him to abandon them. What if they had all left? It dishonored God for him to go to Moab rather than elsewhere in Canaan. And it took his family away from brethren that worshiped God and placed them among heathens and idol worshipers. Now, I mentioned, and we see here on this map, Bethlehem. We're back in the Old Testament in the book of Ruth, talking about Bethlehem. Well, what is going to happen in Bethlehem? When we come to the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. And you drop on down, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I find it interesting when you go back and you read in the Old Testament about places, and then you see and follow everything that happened in that same place down through the New Testament. And what we're reading back in Ruth, we're going to see that's where the angels come to the shepherds and where Christ is born in Bethlehem. So the name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. He had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, of Bethlehem, Judah. They came to the country of Moab and continued there. So when Elimelech decided to go, that resulted in his two sons marrying. So he was responsible for their transgression of the word of God regarding marrying foreign wives. But he moves to Moab. He has two sons. They are going to marry Moabite women. Then, and Abimelech, Naomi's husband, died. He died after they moved there. And she was left with her two sons, and they took wives of the women of Moab. One was Orpha, the other was Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years, and then Naomi's sons, they died also. So she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, she has two daughter-in-laws. Naomi could and should have gone back to Canaan after the death of her husband, but she stayed in Moab, buried her two sons along with her husband in that heathen land. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So like her husband, Naomi was not willing to return to Canaan until the famine was past. And you stop and think about that. That shows a lack of faith in God. I'm not going to do something unless it turns out good for me, instead of God is going to take care of me wherever I am. So, 1:1, a certain man from Bethlehem of Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab. This is a beautiful photograph of that area, the Dead Sea and the mountains of Transjordan from Qumran. Here's another picture of the plains of Moab. Beautiful, beautiful land. Another aerial shot, seeing the sea and then the mountains coming up to the coastline. They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest in chapter 1, verse 22. In verse 29, they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" So she was in Bethlehem. She went to Moab. She comes back. Is this Naomi? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And again, Naomi told her daughter-in-law, "You go back to your family." The one went back, but Ruth was not going to leave her mother-in-law. Ruth was not going to leave Naomi. Here's a few more slides of barley at harvest time. A big, large field of barley. That brings us to chapter 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." So he's going out into the fields and they have this greeting. We would say good morning, something like that. They say, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered. So he notices Ruth. Doesn't say what she looked like. He may have just noticed everybody, but he noticed Ruth. And back to her going to reap the barley. This was part of the old law. The Lord commanded his people that when they harvested the grain, they were not to reap to the very edges. They were to leave some standing grain for gleanings, for the poor people, for the foreigner, that they might have something. It's from Leviticus 19. So, whose young woman is this? Here's a young woman sitting by a pile of grain. Some more pictures of these large fields of grain. At one time, this reminds me of one time when I was up in Northern California, which is agricultural, and like a lot of those valleys, as far as you could see, it might be a field of strawberries, or it might be a field of this or that, just as far as you can see between the hills. That's what this looks like. Barley is as far as you can see. So she came and has continued from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So you see this huge field, and you can see a head here and one there and a few others around there. But they didn't have protection being out in that field. So they would make these structures like this to get some shade during the day. It would be too far to go back to the village or wherever they came from, so they would take shelter out in the fields. Boaz said to Ruth, "Do not go to glean in another field, but stay here by my maids." She said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, since I am a foreigner? You left your father and your mother the land of your birth. So Boaz knows about Ruth. She said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. There's something about Ruth that shows that she is a virtuous woman. And that may have been why he noticed her, was not for her looks, but for her virtue. She stood out. Mealtime, Boaz said to her, in verse 14, come here that you may eat of the bread. So he is inviting her into his circle. She sat beside the reapers. They passed her parched grain and she ate. Verse 14. Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reprimand her. So Boaz is letting her pick not just in this one specified area, but anywhere she wants to. And also, not only can she reap anywhere, but in verse 16, also pull out some for her from the bundles and leave it. Leave a little extra behind for her. Here's a slide of a woman beating the barley. She beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Here's a woman that has taken that grain, put it in a bag. She took it up and went into the city, verse 18. She kept close to the maids of Boaz until the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And again, this beautiful slide of this hillside of barley, as far as you can see, and women harvesting it near Bethlehem, near where the angels are going to appear to the shepherds, saying that the Messiah, the Redeemer has come. Brings us to chapter 3. Verse 1, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you? You know, her mother-in-law is concerned. You're out there working. Shouldn't I seek rest for you? Is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids servants you were? So Naomi starts getting this idea, this plan to help Ruth. He is winnowing barley on the threshing floor tonight. So Naomi, again, she's thinking a little bit more. What can we do here? In verse 3, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. So from that field that we saw, they would bring in the bundles of grain. If they didn't beat it out there, they would have a threshing floor where they would separate the grain from the chaff. Do not make yourself known unto the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Verse 3. So she went down to the threshing floor. And here we see a slide of a large area of these piles of grain that are brought in, where there is a lot of work involved in this, a lot of physical work. Verse 7, when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And this is like some story that you would see made into a movie, which it has been. But this rich man with these fields of grain and these workers out gleaning in it, and when he comes in and is resting at night, and I shouldn't say in, because again, he's not going to go back to the city. They're going to have these threshing floors set up, because they aren't going to carry all of those stalks back to where they come from. But he eats and drinks, he's relaxing. Midnight, something startles him, and behold, there's a woman at his feet. And he said, Blessed be thou, in verse 10, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the later end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will not do to thee all that thou requirest. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The whole city knows the character of Ruth. Verse 12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. So he's startled. He sees this woman at his feet. He recognizes she is Ruth. He recognizes she is this virtuous woman. He says, just stay here tonight and we'll take care of it tomorrow. So Boaz was willing to marry Ruth, but to do so, he had to comply with an unusual law regarding land, which evidently Naomi owned, but probably had mortgaged because of her poverty. The law was a civil law or custom that most likely had grown from the divine law in Deuteronomy 25:5 regarding marrying a brother's widow. Boaz had to purchase all that was her former husband's property before he could marry her. So you want to marry this woman? Okay, you gotta buy all the land that she had. But Boaz noticed you did not follow young men, whether poor or rich. She was just a hard-working, industrious woman. Chapter 3, verse 14, and she lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that the woman came into the floor. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured out 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her head, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Why was Boaz so fond of the match? Ruth was a stranger. She was not rich. She was never said to be beautiful. But Boaz saw and loved her because she was a virtuous woman. This set her price far above rubies. And you see, as it says here, he's putting this grain in her veil. And we see the veils that it was part of what they wore, that they could pull over them, around them, or pull out in front, and this held 6 measures of barley. The people in my city know that you are a worthy woman. We got to ask women and men, what do people in the city know about us? Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. He went into the city. She said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out. So Boaz said what he was going to do to redeem her. I've got to do what the custom is, what the law is. And Naomi's telling her, just sit still till we find out how this is going to turn out. So this brings us to chapter 4. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by unto him. He said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. And they sat down. So Boaz sees the person he wants to talk to. He gets some elders and he says, we're going to talk about this. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth the parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So part of the law was that the closest kinsman had first opportunity to purchase the land. Boaz offered his rival this opportunity. And it's interesting, too, when it talks about going in to the gate and sitting down. Here is an aerial view of a gate, and this shows a marketplace, a plaza, an outer gate, a main gate, an upper gate. And these gates were built out of stone. And it was like today you might just see like an iron gate, a wooden gate that opens, which is easy to penetrate. But they had different levels, different sections of this gate. And if they were under attack and someone broke through the rocks of this gate that they would close in, then they were trapped in between a section. So it was very smart the way they built these gates so that an enemy couldn't just come in and conquer them. This is the city gate of Dan. Here's a close-up of another one. These gates were part of their protection around the city. In chapter 4, verse 1, the near kinsman of Boaz spoke of, came by, turn aside and sit down here. So these gates, when you would read about people sitting at the gates of the city, it was a natural seating area. With these rows of rocks around here forming this gate, it was just a natural place to come and sit down and talk to people as they came and went and to conduct business. Verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So Boaz tells this other person that has first rights, you can redeem this, you can buy the field of Naomi, but the condition on that, you buy the field of Naomi, you also have to take Ruth and raise up children from Ruth to carry on the seed in this name. This kinsman didn't want to do that because that would jeopardize his inheritance. So he refused the opportunity lest he mar his inheritance. Possibly your poverty put him off because he was looking for a bride with a large dowry which would increase his inheritance. And again, that's a lesson there. And what are we looking for in people? Are we looking for something that's going to up our social status? Or are we looking for something more of inner qualities and inner beauty and one that is loyal and honest, an honest person like Ruth? Verse 3, he said, Naomi is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. Buy it in the presence of those sitting here, in the presence of the elders of my people. So would he take his checkbook and write out a check or use his credit card or have cash? Here is, before coins were invented, the medium of exchange was precious metals. This shows a collection of hex silver used as currency by weight. They set a value to this. And just like when we were looking about the parable of the talents, and that talent originally was a weight to measure so many coins by, here is silver. And these transactions were recorded. And these are some tablets recording land purchases concerning some estates that are in a museum. On the day that you buy from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the widow. So this kinsman, you know, he might go for the land, but he doesn't want to have to buy this widow also and raise up children with her. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. So we have different ways of doing things today. They had an interesting custom back then. A man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. You want to know if the deal is going good? You don't start writing up a contract. You take your shoe off. Take your sandal off. Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of dead upon his inheritance, that the name of dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. So I cannot redeem it lest I ruin my own inheritance, the kinsman said. So Boaz redeems it. He takes off his sandal. He threw his sandal off. Here's another record. Your witnesses today that I have bought all that was Elimelech's. This is a tablet, again, in another museum recording transaction. This one says it's recording the exchange of houses between brothers with family witnesses. So it took a little more time to record that than it does to record something today. I've also bought Ruth to be my wife to raise up the name of the dead. And do you think that Boaz, when he buys this widow, he knows she's a worthy, virtuous woman. When he buys this woman to be his wife and raise up seed, that the Redeemer, do you think he thinks that the Redeemer of all mankind is going to come through him? No, he wouldn't be thinking that at all. That the name of the dead may not be cut off from the gate of his native place. So again, back to the gates. People would go out and sit and discuss and talk about things, and that's where they were known. You would talk about, where so-and-so? He's at the gate, where so-and-so? If you don't raise up seed, your name's going to disappear. And this was like an indication of the liveliness of someone. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. The woman said to Naomi, blessed be Yahweh, who has not left you without a redeemer. So Boaz redeems the land. He buys it back. He redeems Ruth. Was she worthy of this? Was she deserving? No, not really. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better than seven sons, has given birth to him. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. The neighbors name this child. And then when we look at the genealogy, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron. Hezron begat Ram. Ram begat Amminadab. Amminadab begat Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon. Salmon begat Boaz. Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. We have the genealogy. When we go to the New Testament, you see the two lines, the genealogy through Joseph, the genealogy through Mary, from Abraham down through Joseph, from Adam down to Mary. You get down to David, and you see two sons here, the sons of David, Solomon and Nathan. And from Solomon, Joseph comes. He is descended. And from Nathan, Mary is descended. Is this all by coincidence? No, you see God's hands all over this. The providence of God. And when you look at the genealogy of Jesus from Abraham to David, is 14 generations. Matthew 1:17. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. Matthew 1:17. From the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Matthew 1:17. Is this by coincidence? No. You see the providence of God? How can somebody say that God does not exist? All of these things point to the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer. And Ruth was willing to leave all to go and be with Naomi. We got to get that lesson. Why is it important? Peter began to say to him, Mark 10:28, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now and this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life." Now, do we leave our family? Do we leave this or that because we want all this other stuff? No, we leave because we want to be loyal to Christ. Just like Ruth wanted to be loyal to Naomi. We leave because Christ is our Redeemer. We love Him. We want to cling to Him. We want to never leave from Him. And in doing this, He's going to bless us. When we leave our mother, father, brother, sister, children, our land, our business, whatever, we're going to receive 100-fold now in this time. And you stop and think about that. I am so blessed with the family that I have in Christ. I have mothers. I have sisters that call me their son. I have men that call me their son. Nat, that I went down to Kentucky with, he's like a brother. He's like an older brother. I love him like a brother. God has blessed us so richly when we serve Him. So we see Ruth and Naomi. We see the nobility of Boaz as an employer and believer in God's promises and command. And remember that this character was manifested during a dark period in Israel's history. Everybody was doing what they wanted to do in their own sight. They were doing their own thing, anarchy, rebellion. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. But we have the example of Boaz. We have the example of Ruth. And they should be an example to us. Ruth is a beautiful love story. But it's also a beautiful love story, not only with Ruth and Boaz and God and Ruth, but it's a beautiful love story of us and God. And we learn in this short book that God reveals Himself to us. We see the kindness of God. We see the providence of God. We see the grace of God giving Ruth something that she did not deserve. We see the grace of God giving us something that we do not deserve. And we see the goodness of God in Ruth's life, and we can see it in ours if we will look. Brothers and sisters, we serve an awesome God, one that is worthy of all honor and glory and praise. He's worthy of worship, not for just a few minutes, one or two days a week, but worthy art thou. Around the throne, everyone is going to fall down and worship him for time without end. Friends, we need to make sure that we are living right, that we can enjoy these blessings that he has waiting for us. If we aren't living right, we need to make our life right. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the heavenly call, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.